This is Rita Cordalis, and today I'm talking with Sunshine Smith, and we'll be talking about how things have changed for Sunshine and her family through the stories she heard as a young child and her experiences that she... Sunshine, when were you born?
October 20, 1916.
So you must have seen lots of changes that have taken place since.
Yes, you. Few.
And have you always lived in Southern Ute, in this area?
I have, but I've been away several times, several years sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Come back.
Uh-huh. Mm. And so you were born right over the hill here?
Yes, on the other side of the hill there.
Uh-huh.
The house, the old house. There.
Did you have a large family?
Mm, there's about five of us. My father and mother and two brothers and three sisters, myself.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But I never knew my one of my sisters. She died during that flu epidemic in 1918. So she was a little older than I am. Didn't know her. I was just
a baby
child.
Then.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, did you live in a teepee or did you live in a house?
We had a little adobe house, it was a little adobe house, 2-3-room adobe house we had. We lived over there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It was built for the people. There was some type of a building program that was going on early. We did live in a teepee and tents, you know. But when I was little, they had built a house.
Oh, uh-huh.
It was made of adobe.
Uh-huh.
It was nice and warm. It had adobe fireplace and all that.
Oh, that sounds nice.
A little place for a cooking stove and all that.
Uh-huh.
That was good, nice. And other times, my dad and mother, especially my father, he didn't like to live in the house.
Oh.
He'd rather live up. He said it was too close and too confining. Couldn't smell the fresh air. So
uh-huh.
He lived in a teepee. They lived in a teepee.
Oh, really? Right mm-hmm. next to the
mm-hmm.
adobe?
They're up on the hill there.
Uh-huh.
They lived there. They made their teepee. And if they didn't have their teepee, they had tent. But mostly it was a teepee. They lived in there.
Oh.
And they cooked in there and slept in there. And
uh-huh.
Just go up there and visit them and stay. Maybe sleep up there with them.
Uh-huh.
Go back and forth. It was good.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to stay in a four-room house.
Yeah.
No. Too confining, too hot, too... Not enough air.
Uh-huh. No fresh air going
fresh
through.
No fresh air. And didn't like that.
So, was he used to hunting and moving?
Yeah, they when I was little, they did that. They went hunting, but only when they needed the food, you know.
Uh-huh.
They didn't go out for like they do now, you know, just shoot anywhere. They just had to save their bullet. One bullet would do, you know, if they could kill one, well, fine.
That's all they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's all they need. Just one. And uh-huh. otherwise they didn't waste nothing.
Mm-hmm. So was your dad must have been around when the Ute bands moved around?
Yes, they came from, our band was down in New Mexico. My father's band. Caputa, they were down in Eagle Nest and Cimarron. That's where he was born, Cimarron.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, around there, Taos, Santa Fe. And my mother was a Mawatch. She was with the other band. She was with Buckskin Charlie's band, uh-huh. and they were from Denver on down St. Louis Valley.
Oh,
in there,
uh-huh.
Alamosa, uh-huh. all that way. They were all in that area until they were moved over here to the Treaties,
uh-huh.
Canoes, you know, in that Canoes area, Antonita area, they lived there, and they moved them over here.
Oh, then is this where they met, then, after they were moved here?
I guess they did, because she came from south, and she came from that area.
Uh-huh.
And, so she was of another band, you know, Moach, and,
uh-huh.
and my dad was Caputa, so I'm half and half.
Uh-huh.
And most of our young children don't know those things.
No.
They don't know what band is. You know what band they belong to.
Uh-huh.
I ask them, they said, what's that? I don't know.
Ignacio band, I guess.
Yeah, no. Yes.
So when the men did the hunting and then the women picked the berries and other foods.
Cooking and all that. And making clothes and
beading,
just all that work at home around the house.
Uh-huh. Did you do some of that, some beading too? Or
yes, I did a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
So most
a little beading.
Most mm-hmm. girls were expected to do that.
Yes, and make sew,
uh-huh.
cook,
uh-huh.
and things like that.
How about planting corn? Did that ever become a big... Did people do that very
oh,
much?
Oh, yes. We had a big field out there. Corn, all kinds of vegetables. A lot of melons, watermelons, and, uh-huh. and cantaloupes and everything like that. We had a big area there.
Uh-huh.
That used, my mother used to plant corn, everything, tomatoes.
Oh.
And my mother was real good at see, we had the houses here and then out here in the field. See that a big field out there. The birds make the crows and everything, they, you know, get into the garden.
Uh-huh.
And she'd go there and cover up the melons, you know, they're out there, they cover them with the weeds, those big, you know, weeded
to
weeds,
hide them from
hide
the
them, but they pet, you know, they come,
oh.
and they had a big old scarecrow out there, too, and she was real good in slingshot.
Oh, your mother
yeah,
was?
Yeah, so uh-huh. she'd say, oh, there's that big crow, you know, so you'd get that slingshot. Hit him right on the head. She was real good at I never could do it. I tried it, he'd just fly this way, but she could just...
Oh, the kind that you swing around?
Yeah, you know, it's a long string with a little leather, you know, saddle.
Uh-huh.
Put your rock in it, and you just sling it, throw it at that.
Oh.
And she was real good at that. She could hit that bird right in the head and everything. I thought that was real nice, you know. I never could do it. I tried it. That was real nice. Mm-hmm. She did everything. She made all our... beadwork, or our moccasins, and our dress, everything.
From buckskin?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She tanned the buckskin, too.
Uh-huh.
Because he was always tanning out there and getting the hairs off. And, you know, I never paid attention to her. You know, I was running around there and all that, and you know, did. And I always used to see her do that. Then somebody asked me, would you do that? I don't know, I never did it, but I just seen her do it, you know, take
uh-huh.
the hair off and take it off and put that brain on it and really tan it and everything.
Uh-huh.
And it's all done, it's so pretty, and then she made her moccasins and clothes with it.
So did you wear that when
mm-hmm.
you were?
Yes.
And did most people wear those
mm-hmm.
kind of clothes
mm-hmm.
then?
Yes, they did. Yeah, my dad had his leggings, you know, and his... everything that
and in the summertime it was real comfortable, it didn't get hot though?
No, they didn't use it every day, they just used the old Levi's, you know,
and
for for every day, but for a special occasion they put their but I guess they did at first, you know, when they first came. But they always had extra set, you know, for that.
For ceremonies and different things.
And our moccasin is at a canvas top like that, you know, the everyday ones. Just this part was buckskin, but the rest was canvas. Because I remember my little moccasin was like that, you know, like a boot.
So
they used to make them.
So you had, you remember that you had plenty of food because you had a garden and
store and berries.
We'd
go up there on up at San Burritos and go summertime pick berries. Go on horseback up there.
Choke cherries,
and just blueberries. They're like blueberries.
You
go up there in that hills. And herbs, we get herbs up there and other things that my mother used to come out and go up and gather and choke cherries. But those choke cherries grow real tall way up there and on. Yeah, just pick them on horseback. But they're still there. So we used to do be on horseback.
So do you still do that? Do people still do that today, or no?
Hardly. I don't think they do. I don't think they care to go up there. Maybe a few do, but they have to drive up on cars or something, four-wheel drive or something. But I don't know if anybody goes on horseback anymore. But we used to ride horseback all the time.
Well, there's probably too many fences between here and there.
It is now. Then there was no hardly any fences. Like when we go to town and walk across here, go across, there was no fence. Get there and take a shortcut. Get there and come back. And now there's so many people living here and fenced in, and you can't go. You might be charged with trespassing and all that. And just, a lot of changes that way. But we had to just go walk up there. Didn't bother anybody, just walk there.
There's lots of room that...
Yeah, lots of room.
What are some of the stories that you remember your parents telling you or teaching you? Stories with lessons in them, maybe.
Oh, goodness, they've got a whole lot of stories, different kinds, and they've been told by families too, you know, different families tell their stories about that coyote, you know, about him, trickster and all that. They used to tell us about those, and about the porcupines and fox, bear. They were all involved in it, and magpies, hummingbirds, and what's that called? Porcupines, bear. Yeah, they had all stories of, you know, involving different animals. And there's so many of them, I can't remember all of them. But, that was really interesting. My grandchildren asked me sometimes about stories, but I was some, well, I'll talk about those boogeymen out here. Said they could get you, you know, they come around and man came around. I guess you probably heard that from, I know Neil always to tell about that. That man, hairy man, and he get the kids, you know, throw them in his basket, and they take them to his place, and build a big fire, and you want to cook them, roast them. You probably heard that from you. And he'd ask them to go out and gather flat rocks, you know, real flat ones, not a big one, but flat one. So they'd be out there crying, you know, and just don't know what they gonna happen to them. They'd be out there and they were looking for the flat rocks. Finally, they bring it in, and then he'd throw it in a hot fire. Then when he was hot, he'd catch him, and the rocks were supposed to be right here, underneath, you know, right here.
Under the arm?
On your arm, every parts of the joint where he'll cook, you know, cook you. And then at one time, this little boy was up looking for rocks, and he was crying, and he wanted to get home and everything, and he wanted to run off, and he was watching him, and he was walking around. And this little man came up and talked to him. He said, "What are you crying for?" He said, "I know." He said, you're gonna, that big, man gonna cook you, and you're gonna cook. That's why you're gathering these rocks, because I don't know why I have to get these rocks," he said, you know. "And that's what you have to do. You have to find them, and then they're gonna pack it under your arms, and where you'll be ready to be cooked, you know." And he said, "I'm scared." And he said, "Well, I know what. So, yeah, if you want me to help you, this is what you do. You take this little cap. It's a little round one. It's like one of those little paint bags, you know, that you find on the road, in the country.
Uh-huh.
Little pot, you know. And they're got a little paint in it, a little puff." And he said, "You take one of these. These are my caps, you know, it's my cap." He said, "And then when that man's not looking, you just throw it at him. And it'll slice him, you know, cut him." So he said, "Okay." He went over there. He gave him the rocks and everything. And he questioned him, "Did you see anybody? You know, did you talk to anybody?" He said, "No, I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't see nobody. I don't know." He said, "I was crying. I want to go home." He said, "Cry." He said, you're ready. You'll be ready." So he threw those things in a fire, just like that little man said. And he said, you don't talk to anybody or go off or run off. You sit here." So he was busy with that. So this little boy took this little cap, and he threw it at him. And he killed him. And that was the end of the story. That's how he got the best of him.
Uh-huh.
He got rid of the bad wolf, or the boogeyman, as you call it. Well, it's a long story. It's more interesting when you say it in, you know, your own language. And it's...
It loses some,
It loses some of its charm.
Yeah. What were some of the things that your parents thought to grow up right and be a good person? What were some of the things that they taught you when you were young? How to be? How did they? What were some of the things that they tried to teach you about how a person should be?
Not steal anything, you know. And of course, we didn't have no money. But if there was money, don't take it. It don't belong to you, you know. Don't ever take any money. And anyway, money didn't mean anything to us, because we're not competitive, you know. We're not that type of people. And so money didn't mean nothing. It's just something. If you have money, you can buy candy or something, you know, change for it. And that's about all. So that's what it said. Don't take money to get one of shining, you know, round things. Don't take that. And
I remember my dad always said, what some of the things were, you wake up early, don't sleep in.
Oh, yeah.
And things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And move quickly, don't move slow.
Yeah, it's just like that too. Like my mother said, don't let the sun come up on you, because you're going to be, if you do, you're going to be lazy and sluggish all day and you won't get nothing done. If you get up early before the sun come up, you'd be ready to go. There'd be, you know, you'd be all ready to go all day and you'd accomplish a whole lot of things, is what she used to say. And I always think about that. I get up early.
You still get up
I
early?
I still get up early, 5 o'clock. And I do, you know, I feel great. But when I oversleep, I feel just lazy and I don't want to do nothing. And my body aches and, oh, you know, I just feel miserable all day. But that's true. I when I think about it, what they used to say, I thought, that's true.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they used to say. Run, don't be, you know, just, you're young, you can go. When you're old, you have to take it slowly, but when you're young, you're ready, you know, to do whatever you want. And move fast, you know, like you said, and run and get the horses and feed them, water them, and get that done, your chores, before, you know, before you come down to eat your breakfast. So that's what we have to do, get up early, and then we'd be out there getting the horses, watering them and everything, and come down and eat breakfast. She'd have the breakfast ready already,
uh-huh,
before the sun came up. That's what she did when I was going to school. And my dad would get up and he'd have the horse ready, horseback, and I'd be up and I'd be getting ready and everything, eat my breakfast, and all I have to do is hop on a horse and go to Ignacio, go to school.
So you rode your horse to school?
Yes. Yeah,
did you just tie it up outside while you were?
They had a barn there.
Oh.
They had a barn where you could tie your horses, you know. Well, many people did that, all the kids had the horse. But my dad always put a sack of oats for me to feed it, you know, at noon. So at noon I'd go over there and I'd give him his oats and feed him. And we all did that.
Uh-huh.
It was fun. And after school we'd all race.
Oh, race horses.
Over the race horses. Speed around. I was thinking about that now. The kids, they do what, drag racing and all that.
Uh-huh.
And we did it on horseback.
And you did it on horseback, yeah. Did you have a main street to ride your horse?
Yeah, go up that road up there. And my horse ran away with me one time. They as though they were trying to catch me. They were chasing me. And that the more they chased, the horse ran more
faster. It went.
Finally, they got me down, you know, cut the bridle and stopped. They kind of stopped me, but I wasn't scared. I was enjoyed it.
You were winning.
Yeah, I was winning. Yeah, I used to do that.
So boys and girls both rode horses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody did. Mm-hmm. And we had to take our lunch sometimes. When I started school, there was a little school. We had a one-room schoolhouse, older school. I used to walk over there. I had to take my lunch, little pail,
uh-huh,
large bucket. They used to put my little sandwich in it, and we had to take our cup. We'd have our cup hanging up there. And we had to school from first to eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, I learned a lot there.
Uh-huh. So did you go through all your years of school here?
No, I went to Ignacio High when I was ninth grade.
Uh-huh.
And then 10th, I went to Haskell Institute in Lawrence, Kansas. And I graduated from high school there.
So how did you feel about moving away, you know, at that time? Were you ready to go?
Yes, I like adventure. I like to go. Yes, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was something different, you know, enjoying. I liked it. I enjoyed everything. And My books didn't. They missed me, but I did. I was having fun.
Uh-huh. Were there a lot of kids from here that went?
No.
No? No,
just me. Went on a train.
Uh-huh. By yourself?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, I used to have a train here in Odipo.
Uh-huh.
And go to Alamosa. And I ride up there and up to Pueblo. From Pueblo, I had to change to Union Pacific and go straight to through Kansas.
Uh-huh.
And that first trip I made, I went on Pullman. You know, when I got to Pueblo, I didn't know nothing about that. But they made arrangement here at the BIA office,
uh-huh,
for me and everything, and they had a Pullman for me. So when I was over there, they said, "Little girl, you gotta go to bed." I said, "I don't know, you know, first time I knew where I was." So they fixed that, you know, bunk bed. It was a bunk, like a bunk berth.
Uh huh.
So I was over there and I got in bed, and curtain down, and strange. You know?
Uh-huh. All by yourself?
All by myself.
And you were about 15 then?
14.
14?
Because they wouldn't let me leave the reservation until I was 14.
Oh.
Because I go up there every day and say, "When can I go to school?" You know, that's, you can't, I'm sorry, the superintendent would say, "No, you can't go until you're after 14 you can go." So 14 I went up there. So they made application with me. And I was accepted that fall. And they had everything ready and all that. And then when I got to, across Kansas, I slept all the way, I guess, because it was nighttime. And then when I got to high school, that man, you know, Porter, he came and said, little girl, you better get up. He said, "You're almost there." So I got up and I got dressed and everything. And it was about 8 o'clock when I got there.
And then
they came, you know, they met me at the station,
uh-huh,
at school, took me back there. And I enjoyed it. I never felt
homesick
or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really.
Then, did you come back here after you graduated?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I came back.
And then, did I hear you were in the military?
Then I came back and then I worked here. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was in the military. And they had a hospital there and they put me to work over there.
Here or?
Here at the travel building. That travel building used to be a hospital.
Oh, uh-huh.
They had a terrible hospital there. So I used to work there. Tenant, ward attendant, we call it that. Work there, take temperatures and all that.
Uh-huh.
Babe. It was fun. I liked it.
Uh-huh. So, was that when you were in the military, or would?
No,
or was
after I graduated from high school, and then after that, I went to that fall. I went to University of New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
I made an application for that, and I was accepted. So they took me down there, and that was the funniest thing. The roads were bad going down that way. You know, it was just dirt road.
Uh-huh.
And we went down there to Santa Fe, and the roads were crooked, and it was dirt road, dusty, and we finally got to Indian School, you know, and we slept there. One of the employees here at the agency took me down there.
Uh-huh.
And we stayed at the Indian School. And then from there, we went to Albuquerque.
Uh-huh.
And we stayed at Indian School, room and board, you know, had to stay there, and then go up to university.
Oh.
On a bus.
Uh-huh.
Because every day up there, I mean, they had other students there too. And we'd go up there, take our little lunches. They make sack lunches every day for us. Take us up there. And we'd go to school. And we were there, I was there for 3 years, and I thought, I didn't like it. I mean, you know, I really didn't. what I wanted to do. And so I said, I'm going to come home. She says, yeah, good, come home if you want to. So I came home. Then I went, then they put me to work at Toyoak.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I worked in the hospital with a stable for a long time. I worked over there with his people, Yukon people.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I came back to Ignacio, to the Indian school,
mm-hmm.
the girls' building. I worked for the girls. I took care of the little girls. Mm-hmm. And there was matron, little girls' matron.
Uh-huh.
There's all those little